Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together.
Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and today we are continuing our series on the attributes of God. Kristen, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
How was your fourth?
It was really good. You know, last episode, we said we were going to do better about keeping up with each other, and we didn't do a very good job these last 2 weeks. But no, my fourth was really good. Sunday night, so there's a town nearby. They had a 4th of July thing on Sunday night. So we went and saw that, or went to that, saw fireworks, got to see Smash Mouth.
Yay. Hey now, you're a rock star.
You're an all-star.
Yeah, all-star.
That is the song.
All-star. I was raised in the IFB, Kristen.
I know. I was also like one of the oldest ones of the group, so I knew more songs than that, but most of them were just like, oh, they sing that Shrek song, right? Yes, they do. They absolutely do. They were not that great, but it was an experience for sure. And then on the 4th, the actual 4th, I went to another fireworks show in another town that was a lot better, a lot bigger. They always do such a great job. And I got to see, again, this is for all you millennials that maybe didn't grow up IFB. I got to see Gavin DeGraw, who...
Oh! Yeah, I actually know who that is.
Hey,
what a fun weekend.
It really was. Gavin DeGraw was like one of my favorite singers in high school. So like his first two albums, I knew a whole lot.
He sang the theme song to One Tree Hill.
Yes, he sang the theme song for One Tree Hill. So Gavin DeGraw, we got to see him. I know like his first two albums really well. And it was a lot of fun to be able to go and see him and see an amazing fireworks display. Like they do such a good job. So yeah, how was your fourth? What did you guys do?
The exact opposite of you.
Well, it was also considerably hotter there for you guys.
So. Man, I was looking at our forecast like the next like 10 days and like the lowest is 102. From 102 to 107. And I'm like, what is happening?
I don't feel like it was that hot when I lived there, the two summers that I lived there. Like, that is nuts.
It is super hot and dry. Meanwhile, it hasn't rained here since like March or April. No. Probably April.
April?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it has been, we were in a drought. And so the 4th of July, fireworks are like my favorite thing. And we usually always go. We didn't, I'll get to that in a second. We didn't go this year, but there was like, just in this county alone, not like counting Dallas, just in this county, there was 22 grass fires.
Wow.
That they were working because it was just so...
Because it's everything's so dry.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a neighborhood pool, like maybe five houses down from me. It's not far, but hear me, when it's 102 degrees, I don't want to go. And so like, I don't want to like walk there. I don't care. Don't judge me all you want.
Also all the people like...
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a thing. And so someone in our neighborhood was selling like one of those big, like round blow up pools. Mm-hmm. It's pretty massive. And so we got that and put it in our backyard and three solid days. That's where we stayed. Three solid days. Like I'm like, my kids had no electronics. They were like running outside. And so I'm a kid when it comes to fireworks. I'm like, I want to go see fireworks. And, again, judge me all you want to. We were so tired from being in the pool outside all day long that we pulled up Disney World.
I mean, thank God for technology, right?
We watched it. My kids watched the 4th of July fireworks from Epcot.
Oh, that's funny. Were they at least this year's or were they like the previous
year? No, it was this year. I'm pretty sure that
at least that
people
was
were it, yeah. illegally doing it and Disney didn't know about it and it's probably shut it down. But it was silly. It was pretty. They did a great job. But it was like, we just needed this weekend. I feel like this 4th of July, because it was a Monday, was like the longest weekend ever because a lot of people didn't work on Friday. So yeah, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I really just needed that break. So it was really good.
I just want to say, I'm looking at the forecast. It's supposed to be 75 tomorrow here, but it's supposed to rain all day. So, but it's supposed to be 80s until like for the next week and a half here. So while you're dying in the heat. Oh, if you guys could see the look she's giving me right now, she's not amused. So there are certain things that I say and do that Shanna is not amused with. Apparently joking about 80 degree weather here.
And
I
even mean, rain. And even rain.
I mean, you could come visit. That's my an option too.
You know, I think that we need to talk about our attributes.
So that you stop sinning.
Let's redirect
our weather.
Let's redirect to who funny. God is and what he's done, shall we?
I love that idea. I think that's a great idea. We'll say this over and over, one of our favorite attributes. But we have a fun way of, we decided to start off a little bit different. And so we want to play you something that was recorded, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Hey, Emma, what is your favorite attribute of God?
Well, I think it is incomprehensible.
Incomprehensible? He's bigger than we can understand. Why is that your favorite?
Because some of those things in that word incomprehensible, like how can he say something and it would appear like, let there be puppies, let there be cake, let there be balloons.
Are those some of your favorite things? Cake, puppies, and balloons?
Maybe balloons, but I'm not sure about puppies.
What does that make, the fact that he's incomprehensible, does that make you love him more?
Yes.
Why?
Because, like, probably without the attribute, that's one of the reasons, like, we're alive, we're created.
Because we can't understand him, that makes you love him more?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great attribute. That's your daddy's favorite, too. Do you know that? My favorite, we're going to talk about today on the episode. Do you know which attribute that is?
Is it faithfulness?
It is faithfulness. It is. God is faithful. He does what he says he will do. Thanks for letting me interview you.
You're welcome.
How cute is she?
That was so adorable. I love that.
Will we ever have a cuter person? I don't know.
Do you want to explain who that was? I mean, I know you introduced like Emma, but who is Emma?
That was my daughter, Emma. She is 9. And man, that kid loves Jesus. Yeah. And she is like, if you want a prayer warrior, it's that kid. She prays to him like she can see him in the room. Like it is the sweetest, most beautiful, most powerful thing. And honestly, Kristen, she's like our biggest fan. She listens to our podcast.
I love that. Like, I love it. That's so cute.
She's like, I'm so proud of you. Oh. I was like, oh, babe.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
Oh,
I love that that's her favorite attribute too.
Yeah,
so I'm like, it's if we just had faith like children, like, hey, she just everything. She's like, he's just indescribable.
Yeah,
like, that's just it. And that's a matter of fact. And we're moving on. And like, the like doubt you said, that
she is very much her father's daughter. And that like that kind of thinking is you can definitely see John Eric in that. So that is really cool.
Deep thoughts.
Yes, very deep thoughts. Let's go on ahead then and use that as our springboard to jump into, as she said, you know, your favorite attribute is God's faithfulness, that God always keeps his promises and that he does what he says he will do. And so if you guys have been along with us on this journey of God's attributes, you know that we kind of follow the same pattern. And we always start with how we see this in scripture. So give us an overview, Shanna, of how we see God's faithfulness in scripture.
Oh my goodness. I would love to. A couple of years ago, our church has what we call a training program, and it's where we just set aside like an institute and to train up leaders and to have theological education in the context of the local church. And it's one of my favorite things. I love it so much. And so one of the things that we were doing was kind of walking, we would walk through scripture from beginning to end. And when I was reading this, I think anytime we think about God's faithfulness, well, of course he is. We will all say that. Of course, it's kind of like his goodness. Of course he's good.
Yeah, of course he is.
But then when you just see it over and over and over again, the pages of scripture, for me, it was one of those like moments, like those aha moments for me, where I'm like, I should have known this. You know, I've been a believer forever. I went to Bible college and the Holy Spirit just opened my eyes completely to this. Like it was the first time I saw it. I don't know. So when we look at the grand narrative of scripture, God's faithfulness is everywhere. The Bible tells the story of a faithful God who has covenanted himself to his people so that he could rescue and redeem them from their sins. And so from Genesis to Revelations, it is a story of faithfulness. And it's helpful for me when I see that, just kind of see it through covenants. And so, you know what a covenant is, but like if I was talking to my kids, I would say a covenant is an unbreakable promise from God to his people. So it's from God to his people. And so we see in Genesis, we have a covenant with creation. And then you have like the fall and exile. And then in Genesis, we also have a covenant with Noah and a covenant with Abraham. And then in Exodus, there's a covenant made with Moses. And then in 2 Samuel, there's a covenant made with David. And then in Jeremiah is the first time we kind of see this new covenant that is that is to come, right? And one of my favorite things is you see all this, like God made a promise with his people over and over and over again. And then like, it's through Christ that we see these promises be fulfilled. And so like with the covenant with creation, right? Christ is the new Adam who, when the first Adam brought death, he brings life and justification. So there's the fulfillment of that, right?
Right.
You have the covenant with Noah. Christ is the better Noah who used an instrument of wood, not to escape the wrath of God like Noah did, but to exhaust the wrath of God. You have a covenant with Abraham. Christ is the better son of Abraham, who used an instrument of wood, who rather than finding a substitutionary lamb like they did, became our substitutionary lamb by shedding his blood in order to bring blessings to the nations. You have the covenant with Moses. Christ is the better Moses, who did not lose anybody in the wilderness like Moses did on the journey to the kingdom, but brings all of his people into eternal rest. You have a covenant with David. He is the son of David who reigns from the throne of the cross, showing the nations who the true king is. The people cried, "We want a king like the nations. We want a king like the nations." And then you have Jesus showing the nations who the true king is. And then in the new covenant, you have Jesus is the mediator of the better new covenant because he did not offer the blood sacrifice of goats and calves, but it was his own blood to secure an eternal redemption. And so the Bible from the beginning in Genesis to Revelation shows a God who makes a covenant with his people and keeps his promises. And that also goes with our salvation. You know, our salvation is not contractual, but covenantal. Mm-hmm. It's not you sign on the dotted line, you sign on the dotted line, or we're gonna each uphold this, you know,
like and hold you, each other to this, yep. And you have to hold this, so we would never be able to.
Exactly. It is covenantal. He said, it's his unbreakable promise from him to us. And so, it is literally, we could give a million scripture. It is all over scripture of his faithfulness over and over and over again. But he's still faithful today, right?
And it's so cool to be able to think through it as covenants, right? Using the language that scripture uses, because we don't necessarily see promise in scripture. Like that's not the translation that we typically see. There might be some translations out there that use that, but we do see covenant. And in the same way, I love how, you know, we've defined it as God always keeps his promises and that he does what he says he will do. And so there are many things that we see how God does say something, and we can have that confidence that he will do what he says he will do. But seeing God's faithfulness today, it reminds me that, and especially as hearing you go through, you know, how the covenants that he's established and how Christ fulfilled those, that his faithfulness is not dependent on who we are, but on who he is, and that his faithfulness is then expressed in terms of our union with Christ. Yeah. Like, that is such a great and exciting thing to think through, that it depends on his character, not our actions. Like we talked about, right? Like, we could never uphold that side of it. And because it depends on his character, and that's kind of what we're digging into, is that we can then rest in the knowledge that there's nothing we can do to keep his promises from being fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Like, that is such a comforting thing. And we're going to be super scripture heavy this episode. Purposefully. Shannon and I were talking about it beforehand. And because a lot of these scriptures are going to be very familiar, but sometimes we forget to see God's faithfulness in these scriptures. Maybe we don't forget to see it. We just get sidetracked by something else. And so we really are hoping that we will highlight how you can see God's faithfulness in these specific scriptures, so that when you hear them again in the future, it will hopefully kind of remind you and be like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, thinking through that and how that shows God's faithfulness. And so one of those is 1 Corinthians 1:9, that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so that again is showing his faithfulness is expressed in terms of our union with Christ.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because God's all knowing, he knows our tendencies toward forgetfulness. We're prone to that, right?
What is that? I forget all the time.
What is that song? It's one of my favorites. Prone to wonder, prone to leave the God I love. Yeah. Like that, that's one of the first things that came, because I'm like, I feel that deeply. I feel that deeply. But you know, you look back in the Old Testament, or even now, like the practices that we do, like God has taken measures in scripture to ensure that his children would remember his faithfulness, right? Like God tells Israel many times to, hey, remember. He's telling them to call to memory the things he has done in the past for them, the way that he had never failed or let them down. And he did this by different ways, you know, like he established the Sabbath as a remembrance of his creative work, and that we can and should rest in what he does. He commanded the raising of memorial stones when Joshua led the people across the Jordan into the promised land, for that they could remember what he did. He instituted the feast days in the Jewish calendar to help them remember his past faithfulness to Israel. Circumcision, we won't talk about that. It was a sign to remember God's covenant with Abraham. And then like now you have like baptism and communion. It serves as a remembrance. You even see, like, I know in the church I grew up as a kid, you had like a communion table up there and it says, this do in remembrance of me.
In remembrance of me.
Right? So you have like baptism and communion, that it serves as a remembrance of the new covenant and like who we are in Christ. But then there's just practical ways, right? Like seasons and the rising of the sun and the moon, and all of that points to his faithfulness.
Right. So, how often do we look at baptism and communion as signs of God's faithfulness, right? Like, I can't say that necessarily that is something that I think of immediately when we have baptism at church, to think of God's faithfulness, but it truly is. It's an outward picture. We talk about that often, but in church, but also it's a beautiful reminder of God's faithfulness in our lives and in the lives of those he has saved. But the idea of needing to remember, we like Israel are a forgetful people, right? We look at, so often we'll read the Bible and we think, man, Israel, how? You've seen God work. Like, you saw him take you out of the land of Egypt. You saw the plagues happen. You saw him miraculously split the Red Sea and get you across and brought you out of captivity and slavery. And yet at one of the first turns, you make a golden calf to worship instead of waiting and worshiping the one true God. And we look at that and we say, how do you do that?
And I think it's like, while we're reading scripture, we're like, dude, literally like just the previous page.
Yeah.
You know, like he delivered
it was just right there.
It was just, it literally.
Like, I know you all remember this, right? But yeah. How often does that happen to us? Like, we look at that and we're like, come on, Israel, get it together. But.
And it could be 40 years for them. And it's been like 6 hours for us.
And you know? Right. And if someone were writing out our entire story, I think they would say the same thing, right? Like, come on, Kristen, get it together. Like, you have seen God be faithful so many times in your life. Yeah. How are you forgetting and doubting it? But it's in those moments of desperation that we need to call to memory the times that we've seen God's faithfulness proven. Mm-hmm. And not only in scripture, but also in our own lives. Like, scripture is, yes, don't get me wrong. Like, yes, if we only had that, that would absolutely that would be enough to trust in his faithfulness. But we've seen it in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this. This is probably one of the verses that I have memorized because of a song, a Steve Green song, I think, for those of you that grew up IFB like me. but this is not the version of that. But I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And when we grow forgetful, or we start questioning about whether God has forgotten us, we can look back at scripture and see how he's been faithful to past generations, but also see how he's been faithful to us. And I think that is one of the sweetest things to be able to. I would encourage you that if you haven't done it as an exercise, to sit down and start thinking through and writing out how God has been faithful. I know a lot of times I'm involved in the counseling ministry. And so we do a lot of different things as far as homework to help people bring things to remembrance. And a lot of times, if you're dealing with something like covetousness or unthankfulness or something like that, or a lot of times in November, people will do like what you're thankful for every day, just as a remembrance of like how God has worked in your life. And I think that's a great thing to be able to do as well with his faithfulness, is being able to look back and see, because a lot of times in our strongest trials, we don't see his faithfulness in the midst of it. But so many times we can look back and say, there it is. I see God's hands. Like, we trust him in the midst of our trials, even if we don't see his faithfulness. We don't feel like he's being faithful, but there's, we can look back those feelings. But what is great is that we can look back and say, I can see his faithfulness. I can see how he was faithful throughout all of that. And he's faithful not only in those trials, he's not only faithful in the big things like saving sinners and restoring broken things, but he's also faithful in the small and seemingly very mundane things, right? So like, if you think about it, like prayers of provision, good health of your children, or I mean, strength to carry on in our exhausting lives. And he is faithful in those. And not only is he faithful in those, but that faithfulness, his faithfulness, gives us hope. Shanna, can you read that Lamentations passage for us?
I would love to. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
There's that remembrance. There's that remembrance. This is what I call to mind, and I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Yeah. His mercies will never come to an end. Not only will they not come to an end, they're new every morning, because we know we need it every morning. And great is your faithfulness.
Yeah. He gives us hope, but he also gives us grace when we're tempted, right? 1 Corinthians says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He is faithful to do that. You know, All temptations are common. There's nothing new under the sun. And all temptation is escapable.
Yeah.
Every believer has the ability to overcome it. And, you know, like one of the best analogies I have read or heard was that idea of a weightlifter who is like doing competitions, right? And they want to gain strength. And in order to do that, you do like repeated workouts, right? So in order to lift very heavy weights, they will start out with smaller weights and then build up strength over time. And so that example, that analogy was kind of used, is like when we're faithful to God in smaller temptations, we build strength to face the bigger ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's really good. Like it is the things that that we are faithful in the small moments, that when we are tempted, we can remember that all of this is common to man and that he's given us a way to escape it.
And that, again, points us right back to hope, right? That gives us hope. That we are not just destined and doomed to always fall to every temptation.
Yeah.
But that because of the work Christ has done in our lives, because of the Holy Spirit, that he provides a way of escape that we don't have to. Mm-hmm. Will we? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is such a hopeless thing, I think, to go into something and say, well, I'm never going to have an option. Like I only can sin. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And that is such a hopeful thing. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating when you continue to fall to sin and you continue to choose to sin, but it's not a frustration without hope.
Yeah.
Because he has promised that he would provide a way of escape.
Well, hold on a second. I want to say that's about back to hope for a second. That's one of my favorite things. My husband works a lot with a lot of just in the tech world, you know, to a lot of unbelievers. And that's one of the things whenever I love about him and his mind and the way that he communicates to people is that like, we are all sinners and I love you regardless. And so they're very comfortable talking to him. Yeah. And the thing he always comes back to is hope. Like, I don't know how you live without hope.
Right.
And so that is really all of his faithfulness brings us back to, we know that he'll do it again.
Right.
You know, that's really good.
But not only is he faithful to give us grace when tempted and give us a way of escape, but he's also faithful to forgive our sins. Yeah. So he gives us a way to get out of those temptations, but also when we sin, he is faithful to forgive. And here's one of those passages that I said that we are all familiar with. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we were discussing this earlier, I was telling Shanna that so often I just jump over that faithful word. Like I just go from, if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us our sins. and cleanse us, because that's the things that are great for me, right? Mm-hmm. But in that passage, and that's such a familiar passage, it's reminding us of God's faithfulness to forgive us our sins, that we're not going to exhaust his forgiveness. There is at no point that he is going to say, you've done it one too many times. That is your limit.
Mm-hmm. Over
he
and
is
over.
Faithful.
Yeah.
It is an inexhaustible forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but Hebrews also tells us that we have a faithful high priest and that he is faithful to keep his promises. Again, it's kind of like he will do his promises. He will do what he says he does.
Mm-hmm.
To keep his promises. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
So things I've learned as I've been studying scripture, and this is something that, and we'll have a great interview in a couple of weeks that will hit on this, but one thing that we're talking about as a theme here is hope, right? And his faithfulness. And we see it right there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Like I thought, if I had my Bible and I was working through this, I would circle that word, hope.
Hope.
For he who promised is faithful, and I would circle faithful, because I think that that's really important for us to see how those things are constantly working together. And like, what a good God that is, you know,
and that it's not dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
that it's his character. It's who he is. He mm-hmm. cannot be anything but faithful.
Yeah.
He can't. Yeah. That is in his character and in his nature. But it's yeah. also, as we're talking about promises of God, it's really easy to fall into a ditch of holding on to promises that were never made in scripture. So it's really important to differentiate the things that he's promised us that we can hold him faithful to and the things that he's not promised, such as he's not promised us good health, mm-hmm. but he has promised that he would never leave us, that he will not abandon us. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times you'll hear that in prosperity gospel, that like if that God wants you to have health. And so if you don't have health, you need to either pray harder or you need to yeah. give, or you need to do this or that. And that is a sign of God's blessing in your life. And in reality, he's not promised that. That's not in scripture. But what he
has. Doesn't that mean that we could manipulate him then?
Right.
I'm like, that's not how God works.
And do you really want a God who you can manipulate? Who no. I can manipulate?
He's I think not that's a pot.
Godlike.
That's an episode for another time, friend.
Yeah. but he has. So, yeah, he's promised that he wouldn't leave us, but he hasn't promised yeah. us that we would have good health. He's not promised us an easy life that's free from trials, but he has promised us that he will give us rest.
Yeah.
So in the midst of those trials, you know that mm-hmm. this is not a picture of God's unfaithfulness because you're going through trials. Mm-hmm. But what is a picture of God's faithfulness is that he's promised that he will give you rest and that you can rest in him. Mm-hmm. He's not, and this is the one that I struggled with for a very, very long time. He's not promised us marriage, children, or that even if those are given to us, that they will last our lifetime. Mm-hmm. That is not a promise that has been
that
given
hits
to us.
Everyone.
Right.
Everyone who has kids, that hits too.
Yeah. That is not something just, you know, if you're single and you're struggling, that's not something that God has promised. But the promise that he does give us is that he will sustain us.
Yeah, that's really good. I think trials, you know, when we go through those those trials that you just mentioned, they always prove the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may take years later and you look back and you're like, I remember, like they, you know, I remember, I can see. But the trials always prove the faithfulness of God, but the faithfulness of God always produces faithfulness in us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there are a lot of times when it does not seem like God's faithful. It's like he has forgotten or abandoned us. Where are you, God? And we talked about with Elizabeth. Elizabeth even kind of touched on this. God didn't promise me marriage, mm-hmm. but he promised me a good life in him.
Right.
And that we were talking in that episode too, where we're like, how long, oh Lord? How long, oh Lord?
Have you so far?
Yeah. Have you forgotten me? Have you hid your face from me? Like, how long? And it's in those moments that we have a choice to make. We can trust that God is who he says he is, or we can trust our feelings. And what do we say about feelings, Kristen?
They are fickle and untrustworthy.
Yeah, they're fluid.
They are fluid. We cannot trust them. I do want to go back though to what you said about looking back at trials, how you said that those always prove the faithfulness of God and that it may take years for us to go back and see it. Like it might not happen immediately after that trial or mm-hmm. after, you know, even a year out, it may take multiple years. Are there any instances where you have been able to look back and see God's faithfulness through trials that you've gone through?
Man, I absolutely have. I'll try to make this brief, but it is really sweet to look back on it. I know I've shared my story both on the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast and on here. And so I'm not going to rehash the whole entire thing, but I think I was working at a Christian school. I was teaching, and the principal at the time and I did not have the same philosophy, I'll say that. And I was let go, and it was the church that I grew up in. And so it was really, 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 really hard. And I went to this other company that was amazing and great. And they, at at my church at the time, I did not have health insurance and I was making like $75 a week. And so I moved to this other job and got health insurance and we got pregnant with twins and we ended up miscarrying our twins. And so I was thankful for like health insurance, you know, like that's mm-hmm. little things. And then I got pregnant with my sweet Emma. Mm-hmm. And when I was admitted into the hospital with her at 27 weeks and I stayed there until I had her at 32 weeks. And then she was in the NICU for 4 weeks. And I just look back and I think if I was still teaching, making $75 a week mm-hmm. with no insurance, like she would be an adult and I would still be paying her off.
I was going to say, you guys would still be paying her off.
Yeah. She's 9 now and I would still be paying her off. But my boss at the time, even when I was in the hospital for 4 weeks and then Emma was in the NICU for 4 weeks, he continued paying 100%, 100% of my medical. And so when we left there, I didn't owe anything, but I was crushed when I was let go.
Right.
Because were like, I was crushed.
Were you still IFB at that point? Like, absolutely. Were you still, that was the church that you yeah. were currently attending. It wasn't yeah. like you had gone to a different church. Like that was the church you were attending yeah. at the time.
Attending and serving.
And that is, so I'm sure a lot of people listening can sympathize with that and empathize yeah. with that of like the church that you are serving and working in mm-hmm. and how you were let go. And that is, mm-hmm. that is soul crushing, right?
It is. And I think that just kind of started it. Cause like, you know, while Emma was in the hospital, John Eric was like looking for another job and he mm-hmm. ended up leaving his job. And so here we are, like we have a newborn in the NICU mm-hmm. and no income.
Right.
And it's like little steps that every step that we took with faithfulness, where God is like, hey, I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. Do you trust me? It has led us to where we are now here in Dallas. My husband's an executive at his company now, and he is a fantastic leader. And I'm not just saying that because I challenge him more than anyone else. If anyone knows us, he's a fantastic leader mm-hmm. and he loves people as people. And we're at this church, this incredible church that I get to serve in, and my kids are being discipled in. And the journey that it took to get us here was literally faith. It was like, you know what? I'm just doing that next thing, whatever is right in front of me. And then on this side of it, when we look back, we were like, we were not doing this on our own. Like the Lord literally was like kicking us out of places and like moving us to get us to where we are now. But you don't see that in the moment. It's hard. It's only whenever you look back and you see how faithful he's been. And so whenever you ask that question, that is like the two things that I think of the most, which also seem to be the two things that were the hardest, you know, mm-hmm. but then you look back and it's like, man, he was faithful the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire time.
And how great to be able to look back on those things.
Yeah.
Like you said, then in the future, you will have more challenging things and struggles, but you've seen God be faithful in your life. And I think if we were to all stop and kind of take inventory of how God has been faithful, I think we would just be surprised. I think at first we would struggle, especially depending on where you're at. If you're in the midst of a trial, I think it's harder if you've not practiced this ahead of time to recognize God's faithfulness in your life. But that's where I think, okay, and I'm going to say this, and Mom, when you're listening, recognize that I know that I gave you very, very hard times when I needed to write things, but I am not I'm a fairly decent writer, but I hate doing it. and so saying this, I think there will be a lot of people that know me that will laugh, but I think this is where something like journaling helps.
Yeah.
That it allows us to go back and see how God has answered prayers and provided mm-hmm. in ways that we forget. Even like I said, in those small mundane things, when we're praying for money to get us through till the next paycheck,
yeah,
when absolutely. We're praying for health, when we're praying for, you know, whatever it might mm-hmm. be, we forget those things. We are forgetful people. And so those journaling and prayer journals are so helpful, because a lot of times the things end up becoming such a small thing once we're removed from it, mm-hmm. even though at the time it consumed our mind so much that we took it to God in prayer. And not saying that we only take the big things to God in prayer, but a lot of times that's what we take to God in prayer, is the things that are just consuming our minds. It's and true. At the time it becomes, it seems like such a big thing to overcome. And maybe it is, a lot of times it is, but sometimes 2 years out, you look back and you're like, wow, that wasn't as big as I thought it was, but I saw God's faithfulness in this and how he provided, how he provided. I think of when I lived in Texas, and for the brief time that we got to live together in the same city, but even before that, some of what led me to actually moving back home was when my grandma passed away. And those of you that know me as well, I don't do well with feelings. And so I did not grieve well. Mm-hmm. And it manifested in different ways and ultimately ended up leading me to the point where I needed to get back near family. I was just like, oh, this is dumb. Why am I so far away? At that point, I hadn't been able to really, I started to plug into a church, but it was kind of too far, too gone at that point. Poor Shanna and John Eric dealt with me coming every like other weekend to their house. I would drive to Shreveport.
I needed that.
And I'd be like, hey, I'm here for the weekend. I drive Friday night and leave Sunday night.
Loved it.
It was a crazy time. But I look back, and even in that situation, right, we talk about this, how I think it was a grand total of 2 months that we had living in the same city, right? And mind you, this had been the first time that we lived in the same city since college. Mm-hmm. And we kept our friendship up. And over the year and a half that I was living in Texas by myself, driving there and actually getting to talk to your husband and really get to know him, that's kind of when I started really getting to know him. And anyways, all of that to say, we can look back and see God's faithfulness in that, right? It was a difficult time. I remember I didn't want to tell you that I was moving back. I waited to the very last minute.
I remember specifically, I feel like you were buttering me up, because I was super deep in postpartum depression. You're like, hey, let's go to the mall. I'm like, oh my goodness, she wants to get me out of the house without children. And let's go to the mall. And then like, we're in the car and your dad calls and you're like, hello, Mr. Bill. And you walk out, you answer the
I don't
phone.
Remember any of this.
You're like, my dad's calling. I'm like, since when do you take phone calls away from me? You always answer the phone with me here. And you literally stepped out of the car and had a conversation with your dad. And I was like, what is happening? And now looking back, I'm like, she was plotting to leave me.
But all that to say, like, God then brought me back to Cincinnati, and has worked in such great ways in the last few years in my life, and plugging me into like getting involved in a church and in a small group and with friends, and the people that are just the community that I have at church has been phenomenal and a game changer for me. But then not only that, I think of like God's faithfulness in your life. And I know say this, I always say that I have a feeling, and we don't know what could have happened, but me not being there forced you to really dive into your church because you needed community.
Absolutely.
And I think if I had been there, I would have been a hindrance to that, or at least been an obstacle to that. You wouldn't have felt that need and that draw.
To get
as involved, because you needed that community. And so just even looking back in those kinds of things, like those difficult times where, you know, it wasn't a great situation when I was coming home, and it affected not only me, but it also affected you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And like you said, in the throes of postpartum depression. And but God was faithful, and look at where he has us both now, and that we can, you know, connect every other week and being able to have this podcast. It's just really cool to be able to look back and see, and we can a lot of times remember and see those big things, but journaling and prayer journals will really help us see how he's faithful in the big things, but also in the very, very small things.
Yeah, I still have my, you can ask my mom. Hi, mom. you can ask my mom. I love, and my mother-in-law too. You don't want me to give you a gift because you're going to get a book. That's like, it's literally, I'm like the most like boring gift person ever. But I'm like, this is a fantastic gift and you will love this book. And usually they're very gracious about it, but I've given my mom so many journals because I feel like, I'm the same way. I have to journal because in an age where social media and like our phones are like right here, like in our pockets on my nightstand, it's such a, like, I remember one of the practices that we had to do in the training program that I talked about at the beginning of the episode was we had to practice like a Sabbath where we sat for hours with just our Bibles and a notebook. That was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And that may literally
really difficult.
That may literally seem like that's so easy. Like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And it made me wrestle with like, okay, I have my Bible and I have a notebook. does he still talk to me? Hmm. You know, like when it's just mm-hmm. you and he does, he is, I mean, man, he does. It's my most favorite thing that I've done. But the other day I was looking through a lot of I brought some boxes home from my parents' house and I was going through all like my old BBC, like grad, mm-hmm. like, what are those things called behind me right now?
Yearbooks,
those things. I was looking through them and I found my journal where I journaled my prayer journal when I miscarried my twins. Mm. And I cannot tell you, I felt the anxiety reading it again, mm-hmm. but looking back on that journal, I was like, my goodness, he's faithful. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, not like I felt like Job, but I also was like, he restores and he is so good. And it's so encouraging. So I would totally recommend everyone journal. Like, and it's something about journaling and writing down your prayers just helps you not get distracted.
Yeah.
And not only that, but keep them. Yeah. You're going to want to look back on them.
Yeah. There have been, and again, I'm not a writer, but there have been, I have prayers written out specifically that, and prayers that have not come to fruition yet. Right. Sure. Like I haven't had the answer that I want, but I'm holding on to hope that they will. And that if they aren't answered the way I want them to be, that he will give me the grace to be able to go through it because he doesn't leave us. Right. Like that's all mm-hmm. what we've talked about. Yeah. But not only, so we always try to couch these in, are they communicable or incommunicable attributes? And faithfulness is a communicable attribute, right? We are called to be faithful.
God is faithful to do what he says he will do. And we should do the same. Mm. We should be faithful to him and then also reflect his faithfulness toward others. So it's like this dual calling, right? We're faithful to him. We should also reflect his faithfulness toward others. And it's never easy. We talked earlier about how there are trials and temptations and even choosing faithfulness. It's marked by those things, right? Mm-hmm. But we should always choose faithfulness in matters both large and small. Mm-hmm. So we can be faithful with things like our time, mm-hmm. Our abilities. We can guard our thoughts, like think on those things that are pure and lovely and true. We can be faithful with our words. Do they build up or tear down? Mm-hmm. Here's a really good question that made me think. Are we known for our faithfulness before others? Like, do we do what we say we will do? Because ultimately, every act of faithfulness towards others is an act of faithfulness towards God. We are all created in the image of God. And the way we treat others is a reflection toward God. Every act of faithfulness toward others is an act of faithfulness toward God. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5, and it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he who calls you is faithful and surely he will do it. He who calls you is faithful and surely he will do it.
I think we can really just like summarize this, and we going into this, we knew this was going to be a long one, friends. We knew it. Mm-hmm. It is something that both of us hold very dear to our hearts. But I think we can kind of summarize and encompass all of this by saying God is faithful to his children because he cannot be unfaithful to himself. Mm-hmm. He always keeps his promises and he does what he says he will do. So I know we started off with that definition and we're ending with that definition, yeah. Right? That he always keeps his promises and he does what he says he will do.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite verses, when my kids are four, they learn Psalms 100. It's only five verses. Mm-hmm. And both of them, when they were four, they learned it. And Psalms 105, the very last verse says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." So the faithfulness that we see wasn't just in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It continues on to us. We can look back and remember that his steadfast love, it never changes, mm-hmm. endures forever. And his faithfulness endures for all generations. It's who he is. And so this kind of leads into our next attribute, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what? What is our next attribute?
It is that God is unchanging. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, his steadfast love endures forever, that he is unchanging. And so we're kind of, again, building up on these that and kind of ending, it will be the last of our attribute series, is mm-hmm. that we'll dive into how we see how he is unchanging and how that affects us and how then we should live our lives in light of him being unchanging, just to give yeah. you a preview as well. So we have that coming out in 2 weeks. And then we have a couple mm-hmm. interviews lined up that we're super excited mm-hmm. about. And we hope that you guys will enjoy that. But all of this talk about his faithfulness, it's great to be able to look back and see it and to remember it, but it also drives us to praise. Right? It should drive yeah. us to praise him for his faithfulness. And we have a fun way. Again, we started off this episode in a fun little different way. And we want to close this episode with a fun little different way. So we hope yeah. that you enjoy this little bit of a different ending to it. And until next time.
Bye.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.